Good morning. It is good to see you all here, and good to see your beautiful smiling faces. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 9th chapter. I'm going to be preaching on when Jesus looks upon you. And I'd like to ask you to stand, if you can, as I read Luke 9, verses 37 through 45. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. And a man from the crowd shouted, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this statement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, Lord, let us think totally different about how you look at us. Father, we have our own perceived ideas. We have our own reasonings. And you know what, God? Sometimes they're wrong. We cast wrong judgments upon you. Forgive us, Lord, for falling short in those areas, we pray. But knowing today, God, that you always look down upon us in love. You always look down upon us with compassion. And Father, today, let us see you through our hearts and not with the physical mind or our own emotions, but let everything be through our spirits and our hearts, Lord. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from your Holy Spirit. And Father, plant your word upon our hearts that we may not sin against you and that we will grow in truth and in strength. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever noticed that there's something about being noticed, about being seen? A lot of people go through life and they feel like no one really sees them, that nobody really knows them, and that nobody really cares about them. But in the scripture today, we looked at a father who more than anything wanted Jesus to look at his afflicted son, the son that had the demon. And in life, that's something every single one of us wants. We want to be noticed. We want to be known. We want people to like us. We want people to love us. We want people to know us. And some people will go sometimes to great extents to be noticed. Have you ever known of anybody that likes to be the center of attention? They always want it. You know, I was like that as a kid. Sometimes I still get that way too. But anyway, we see this father, he had a situation with his son. The son was possessed by a demon, and the father had gotten to a point of helplessness. He didn't know what to do, but then he saw Jesus. And I want us to think about this for a moment. So the father had realized there was nothing that he could do about the situation with his son. Okay? And he knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And I believe that that man knew and had the faith that Jesus could deliver his son from that demon that was oppressing his physical body. And he came to Jesus and his faith. Jesus knew his faith, and Jesus acted upon the faith of that father, because number one, Jesus could see the desperation in his life. He could hear it in his voice, but Jesus saw his heart. He knew exactly the trials, the troubles, and the emotions, and the stress that this father was feeling. Now, I want you to look at your life. How many times have you been in a situation where you had done all that you could do, and you had turned to other people, you had asked for prayer, you've talked to other people, and you still felt like you're at the end of the rope, you feel like there's no hope, you actually feel like nobody really cares or understands the situation that you're going through? How many of you have been there? Yes, I have. I sure have. And I still go through that. There are times that every single person goes through the pity party. We're all guilty of it. We invite me, myself, and I to the pity party, and we sit there, we say, woe is me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody understands my plight. Nobody understands the pain that I'm dealing with. And when we get ourselves caught up in that kind of turmoil, the father cannot do anything about it until we reach the place where we say, Lord, I don't know what to do anymore. All I can do is call out to you. We have to come to the place where we bring our troubles to Jesus and we lay them at his feet. The Bible says that the Lord cares for us. And we are to cast all of our anxieties and all of our cares upon the Lord, because He does care for us. See, the Lord is big enough that He can handle anything that you're going through. Whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's a family or a church or a job, whatever it may be. Inside of us, sometimes it seems like this big mountain, and we find ourselves trying to climb over it. I don't know how many times I heard my grandmother say, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. She said, your carrying on is worse than your situation. She said, have you ever prayed? And I can't tell you how many times I've had it, people ask me, and how many times I've asked people, have you prayed? Have you turned to the Lord? So anyway, this father takes his son to Jesus, pleads before the Lord, and Jesus, with compassion, he casts the demon out of that boy, and the demon left. And the Bible says that the demon, of course, slammed him to the ground and made him convulse as he left. But Jesus took the problem out of the young boy's life, delivered him from that demon. And the Lord is wanting every single one of us to know that we can always approach His throne, that we can always come to Him at any time of day or night. We can get on our knees, we can bow upon our faces, and we can worship Him and acknowledge Him, and we can cry out to the Lord, and we have to know by faith that God hears what's going on. See, because God already knows what's going on. He does. He knows every single thing about you and me. But what is He waiting for? He is waiting on you and I to act in faith. Faith is what moves God. If we don't have faith, then it's impossible to please God. And it's impossible for God to move if we're not willing to trust Him. And we can look at this father and we can clearly see that he had huge faith. The Bible says that if we would have faith of a mustard seed, how many know how small a mustard seed is? Janine and I were in Kroger's one day, and we were actually in the spice aisle, and she was getting her canned milk, and I turned around and I was looking. And she says, "Well, what are you looking for?" I said, "I am looking for some mustard seeds." And I found them. I found a clear bottle or container of mustard seeds. And I picked that thing up and I looked at it and I said, "That's the amount of faith that I need to have for God to move? Well, I better start putting it to practice." But how many times does the flesh get in the way? The devil says, "Hey, you've got this. You're a pretty wise cookie. You can figure this out. You don't need God. You don't need to pray. You don't need to read your Bible. You just go on what you know." And as the devil fills your head with more lies, you start to believe them in your heart. And then after a while, people do this. People sit and they will twiddle their thumbs. And then they start thinking, "Well, maybe God can't handle this situation. Maybe God can't heal my body. Maybe God can't turn things around in my family. Maybe God can't change my character. Maybe God can't." We start to do that sort of thing. And then we start to doubt God altogether. And then it's basically like putting salt on an open wound. Any of you ever had Mercurochrome put on an open wound before? I tell you what, that'll start a church revival right there. Many times. And that's kind of what it starts to feel like inside. It feels like the devil is putting Mercurochrome on our open wounds. And then he's turning us away from the fellowship and the love of the Lord. And then what are we losing? We're losing our peace. We're losing our strength. We're losing our fight and our drive. And a lot of churches today are doing that as well. "Well, we're never going to grow. We'll never have this. We'll never do that," because of where the church is located or who we've got. And this is where we're at. And people have just been dropping off. And then people get tunnel vision. I call it narrow-mindedness. Looking at it through the eyes of the flesh and leaving God out of the whole picture. If we would turn God loose in our lives and know that God looks at Janine Cooper, at Bob Thomas, at Larry and Patty, at Keith and Norley, at all of you. He looks at all of you with love. He looks at me with love. He looks at you as His child. He sees you through the shed blood of Jesus. He sees you cleaned by the cleansing of the blood that flowed down Calvary's cross. That's how Jesus looks at you. And I want every one of us to get that not only in our mind, but get it into our heart and meditate on that. And we have to say, "I am a child of God. I am mighty in His strength." See, in our strength, we're actually weak. But through Christ, His strength is made perfect inside of us. So when we finally come to the Lord and say, "God, I can't do anything about this anymore. Here it is. I pour it out before You." Now, let me tell you this. God works in His own timing. Sometimes God works immediately. And sometimes God makes you wait. Sometimes it takes a little length of time. And sometimes we think during that waiting process, we think it's going to kill us, or we think we're going to go stir crazy. But it's in those moments that we are to be doing the Lord's work. We are to be serving Him and worshiping God and praising Him and praying and out in the highways and byways telling people about Jesus and sharing the testimony of our life. And then when you least expect it, God answers the prayer. God opens the doors and He starts meeting your needs. And like I said, He can do it just like that. I have had instant healings. Yesterday, I got home after we worked the funeral, and I mean my side back here was in excruciating pain. And Janine got me a hot pack. Well, she put some stuff on my back and got me a hot pack. And I just finally said to her, I said, "Would you please lay hands on me and pray for me?" And she did. And as I sat in that chair, then we prayed, and I believed by faith for my healing yesterday. And I sat back in the chair on that hot pack for a little while, and Janine got up to do something, and she said to me, "How do you feel?" I said, "The pain's gone." And she said, "Praise God." So see, I've had God answer prayers immediately, and I've had God say, "Wait, child." And it's in those waiting periods that I thought I was going to lose my mind some of the time because I got my eyes off of the Lord. But when I put my eyes on Jesus and I keep my eyes there and I walk in His mercy and His love, then His strength lifts me up and He says, "Child, go another step because I'm with you every step of the way." See, Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He knows every hair, the numbers of the hair that's on your head. He knows, He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. How awesome is that? He knew you. Can you wrap your mind, or can you wrap your human brain around that? I can't. That's how great and mighty God is. If He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb, that means He knew my life from the time of conception to the time of birth, even to the time of my death, or if I go up in the rapture. He knows my entire life. Now, Thursday night, we went to a Newsboys concert, and Michael, who's the lead singer of the group, he was kind of giving a little testimony, and he made a statement that really impacted me. It really made me think. And he said, "You know what? I don't let trials and tribulations really get me down," because he said, "I pray and I worship the Lord, but," he says, "I'm just passing through this life, and this ain't my permanent home." And that's what you and I have to realize. We are here on a temporary assignment. This is not forever. We are not here to please one another with what we have or what we can do. We are here to serve the Lord, to serve others, and we are here to praise and lift up the name of Jesus, and we are here to do the calling He's called us to be fishers of men. And that's exactly what our job is. So if He knows what we're going through, then He can handle that load. He is able to heal a shattered life. He can take anybody's life. I don't care who you are, what you've been through. He can take all the broken pieces and He can put them back together and make them better than new. My God is great enough. When Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree, but he wasn't trying to be noticed. The reason he got up in the tree, he was so little, he couldn't see over the crowds of people, but he wanted to see Jesus. And get this, he had a shattered life. He was a thief, a tax collector. He had taken from people more than what they owed him. He was a basic big cheat, a liar, a swindler, a crook, whatever you want to call him. And Jesus came through the crowd And this is what's good about God. He knows your struggle. He knew Zacchaeus' life. He knew Zacchaeus would be up in the sycamore tree. And Jesus stopped and got underneath the sycamore tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down from there because I'm going to your house today to have fellowship with you. See, Jesus was saying, I'm going to take your life and I'm going to turn it completely around. I'm going to touch you in a way that nobody could ever touch your life, and I am about to set you free from the sin that you've been living under. And the Bible says that when Zacchaeus' heart and his life had been changed, he gave back double what he took from people. He knew the error of his ways. So Jesus had taken all the pieces of Zacchaeus' troubled life. And we don't know what Zacchaeus' life was like. We don't know how he was raised. We don't know anything about his parents. We don't see anything in the Bible about it. So we don't know if he was abused or mistreated or whatever. But whatever led Zacchaeus to be what he was, when Jesus got a hold of him and turned him around, his life was made totally brand new. And I guarantee you, he went and shared the good news with every person that he came across. Jesus can overcome all of the evil in this world. If he cast a demon out of that boy, which he did, Jesus even cast demons into a herd of swine, and the swine ran over and jumped, basically perished off of a cliff. Jesus has that power. Jesus has authority. There is power in just the spoken name of Jesus. If you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, and you don't even know what to pray, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I need you. Speak His name, because in His name there's life. In His name there's power. And when that name comes off of your lips, it changes the atmosphere. It changes everything all around you. But there's so much evil, though, right now in this world, and people are fretting over it. People, I'm telling you what, these last, I'll be glad when this election's over. I really will. I've heard so much negative out of Christians' mouths about this election coming up and all the evil that's coming to this nation. Well, I tell you what, I don't care who's in that White House, and I don't care who's doing what in that government, because God is still on the throne and Jesus is still sitting at His right hand, and ain't nothing ever going to change that. God is who He is. God said, I am. That's who He is. He said, I am, which means He is the supreme. He is our creator. He is our rock and our fortress. So yeah, there may be a lot of evil. There's always been evil. The moment Cain killed Abel, there's been evil. The moment Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge, that when they ate that fruit, evil was in the world. They sinned. It was there. Evil happened when Satan got kicked out of heaven with all the angels that followed him. And they were kicked out of heaven. The evil was there. But God saw one day, and He destroyed the world with a flood. And guess what? The evil was back. And then God the Father said, there's only one way that I can deal with this evil. There's only one way that I can bring men back into fellowship with me. And He told His Son, I want you to go and die on a cross, and I want you to become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And Jesus faithfully and very willingly and lovingly did that and gave His life so that you and I would not live under the bondages of sin and evil. The Bible tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil, and that means get away from it. God wants us to draw ourselves to Him. God wants us to remain in fellowship with Him daily. And if you remain in fellowship with God, if you speak the words of God, if you speak good things, life-giving words from your mouth, the devil will not have enough room to get in and invade your thoughts and your heart to try and destroy your life. If he sees that you are staying that close to God, he's not going to get near you. But the moment you start living your life away from the Lord, he'll come knocking. And the majesty of God is very near. In verse 43, it says, "And they were all amazed at the greatness of God." They saw a demon cast out. Could you imagine what that would be like if you were in church and somebody came in demon-possessed and God brought somebody along that was really anointed and God cast a demon? Could you imagine? That happened. It happened a lot, and it happens today. But God's greatness is something awesome. When you look back at Elijah and the prophets of Baal, there was one Elijah, and there were over 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah came to them in the greatness of God, under the authority of the Holy Father. And Elijah stood up there, and he testified to them that God would respond. And when Baal's prophets got up there and they started calling out to Baal to answer them to the altar that they had made, and nothing happened. And then Elijah started going, well, wait a minute, where's your God at? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's not listening to you. Where is your God? Elijah taunted them because he knew that they worshiped a false God. He was trying to make them see the error of their ways. But then the moment that Elijah had the altar prepared and he cut up the bullock and had them fill the large pots, and I can't remember, it was four or five times, and had them dump the water on the altars. And then when he cried out to the Lord God, God answered with fire from heaven and consumed up everything on that altar. And even all the water that had been running and dripping down was dried up. That is God's greatness. And today, this is what God wants to do for you. God wants you to know that you can have His greatness in your life, but you have to receive it. You have to take it in, and you have to live it. I can't do it for you. Laura can't do it for you. Effie can't do it for you. Janine can't do it for you. Nobody. You have to take it, and you have to live it. You have to live with authority. You have to know that Jesus looks at you with compassion. You have to know that Jesus looks at you through eyes of love and mercy. If He didn't, He wouldn't have never went to the cross. But He looked at us through love and mercy and died and rose again. And when He rose again, He went to hell and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the enemy. And He set all of those captives free, the ones who had lived for the Lord but had never known salvation. He set them free. But Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished. It was done." So I want you to know, people, today, that God looks at you through eyes of mercy and love. He looks at you so special. And that's how you need to look at yourself. You need to tell yourself daily, "I am a child of God. I walk in His blessings. I walk in His favor. I am strong because the Lord is alive inside of me." Nothing can come up against your house if it's built upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. You can try every other way. You can write Dear Abby all you want, but she ain't got the answers for you. And you can call your best friends in the world, and they ain't got the answers for you. But when you realize that Jesus looks at you with the eyes of through the eyes of love and mercy, and you see that, and you see what He's done inside of you and what He wants to do with you, it will change your life. I preach that message today because you know what? I tell you this a lot. This guy here, I'm perfect. I'm still in the flesh, and I need it every day. I need it every day. Lord, help me to change. Help me to see Your goodness, Lord. But yet, when this mind gets in the way and we start thinking differently aside from God's Word, what happens? We start to separate ourselves from that love, from that safe place. And then we lose that fellowship with the Lord over time. The Bible says in James chapter 5, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Which means get close to God, he's going to get close to you, and he's going to stay that way. I pray that every day, I really do. And I still got a lot of work on me. But I know that everything's possible with Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.